All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv Entertainment Edition, but this is big. This is a big one, folks, because I have Epic Times, Jessamyn Dodd, on with me, who you report the entertainment section of the Epic Times, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so this, to me, you're credible.
Little politics, mostly entertainment, celebrity, scandals, crime, documentaries, things that are coming out.
Yeah, and there's a
today.
There's a lot today, so... We're gonna be covering the stuff that's happening with Ryan Garcia. He's having a mental breakdown, folks. I mean, it's pretty obvious to see by now. And I understand the pressure he's going through. The whole thing. We're gonna be talking about Jake Paul being called out by a woman fighter, Clarissa Shields, a tough woman fighter, mind you. And actually, this is the first time I'm all for it. You know what? Let's make this. I'd rather see this fight than an old Mike Tyson. So I'll get into that as well. And we're going to be talking about Caitlin Clark and the Gilgo. Is it Gilgo serial killer? So
yeah,
the Gilgo Beach killer. This is crazy. Folks, get your Noble Gold. Get your Noble Gold. Gold has gone up more than 81% in the last 5 years. It is happening. Central banks are ditching the dollar and U.S. treasuries and buying more gold. The good news is it is predicted to go up more. UBS even said it could go up to 5,000, and I've heard even more than that from certain guests that I've had on the show. Noble Gold Investments phone has been ringing nonstop. Everybody wants to protect their retirement with gold. You can do the same, and if you do it this month, Noble Gold Investments will give you a free 1/4 ounce gold standard coin if you open a qualified account. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com now, noblegoldinvestments.com, and get started, folks. You don't want to miss out on this, the gold rush. All right, Jessamyn, let's get into this. Man, there's so much to cover. Which one do you want to cover first?
You tell me. Where do you want
to
start?
Let's talk about Caitlin Clark.
Right, Caitlin Clark. She's like a WNBA star. She started coming out. People started speaking out against her because she started rising to fame. She brought a lot of viewers in. She was scoring these huge points. I don't think people had been talking about the WNBA for a very long time. And then Caitlin.
I mean, the only time anyone talked about it was Griner getting in trouble. Right. Nobody cares about the WNBA. I don't watch it. I can't even name you a team. You know, come to think of it, I can't name one team right now. That's just me, though.
The LA Sparks, because Lisa Leslie, she was a big star, right? I think most people know who Lisa Leslie is. You know, she was this big WNBA player for the LA Sparks, the team. But, you know, Caitlin Clark, she started getting all this attention. Her star started rising and rising, and people were talking about how great she is. And you know what I heard immediately was, it's just because she's white. Maybe she's just a really good player. You know, people were calling her mid, but she did very, very well in the WNBA. She was a rookie. A lot of the black players had a huge problem with the amount of attention that she was getting. Now, this is where it's weird because it came out that she did not make the U.S. Olympic team for women's basketball. They put Brittany Griner in her place. Now
they put Brittany Griner in her place. So what, do all the black athletes have a problem with her? Is that what's going on?
And I've seen this discourse online with a lot of people saying, you know, when people would push her down on the court and the black players would get, fouled and points taken away, they would say it's, you know, that they didn't deserve that or whatever. I'm not a big basketball person. I don't really follow it. But, people are saying that she did not. What I saw today on Twitter was a lot of people saying that it was really, even Lisa Leslie, the star that I mentioned, she's probably the only, besides Brittany Griner and now Caitlin Clark, the only WNBA people. I mean, there are people who really watch it. There's a market for it. But, you know, again, I'm not a huge basketball person. But Lisa Leslie was like, you cannot have an Olympic basketball WNBA. You can't have an Olympic females team without Caitlin Clark. That's what weird, right? And then they announced it, and Brittany Griner, who, you know, spent months in a Russian.
Brittany Griner, Caitlin Clark is getting known for her shots. She's making, she's making shots, she's making points, and then Griner's just getting in trouble. So why would they? I mean, all the controversy around Brittany Griner is one thing, but Caitlin Clark is actually making points. She's actually performing. She takes what she does seriously, and she deserves a spot on the Olympic team, but she gets overshadowed by Griner, who's just nothing but controversy. I don't understand this. To me, this is – it does seem kind of black versus white here.
It does, and also, you know, I feel like they're kind of saying, you know, Caitlin Clark – she worked her whole life to become a WNBA player. She trained high school, college. She was a rookie. And she brought so many viewers in. And to not have her on the Olympic team is very weird and suspicious. And Brittany Griner, I'm sure she's a fantastic player as well. But, you know, she just had this huge controversy where she got released from a Russian gulag for bringing, you know, substances to Russia, or her pen or whatever it was that she got caught with. And that was scary to have an American in a Russian prison, you know, but at the same time, if I was flying to Russia, I was part of an American team, I would bring a pair of underwear and that was it. You know, Russia does not play around. You can't just put,
you got to respect the laws and rules of other countries. I mean, you just literally do. I don't know. I don't know if anyone has seen that Midnight Express. I think it was back in the day. Remember that movie back in the day, Midnight Express, where that guy went away to the, I think it was in Turkey or something like that. Crazy movie. Yeah. Crazy. I mean, that right there should teach everyone. Everyone should watch that movie. It's crazy. But let's get to some Ryan Garcia news, because
Brittany Griner, she just posted a video of herself completely topless playing, shooting hoops at her backyard pool, and my first thought was, whether you're a masculine person or not, you know, it was a really weird video, and you know, she was talking about getting hoops and her dogs were there and stuff. It just feels like Caitlin Clark's star rose too fast, and it was for jealousy reasons that they didn't put her in the Olympic team. You know, it feels like
I think it's more than that. I think it has to do with,
there were five people who sort of, I think there are five women who decide who's going on the team and not. And the thing that was weird was four of them were black and it was like one white woman. So it felt very much like we can't have, but what I don't understand is, like, this was never a problem when I was growing up in the 80s. You know, Larry Bird was huge and people respected the hell out of him, right?
Yeah, Larry Bird is like the most underrated all-star great, man. That guy, I put him right up there with Michael Jordan.
Yes, he's one of the greatest, and no one said anything about him when he came on the scene. There was not like, oh, well, this white kid, you know.
Because this is all just happening now, and we know why. I mean, this is all being perpetuated by mainstream and certain groups that are being funded. And so this is all, like I said, agitators. Like, this is all about stoking the fire. It always goes back to politics, man.
It does. And I'm not saying that Brittany Griner is not a phenomenal play, because I'm not a big WNBA person. If I'm watching basketball, I'm watching, you know, usually men's basketball, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure she's a great player, but I haven't seen much from her since she got back from Russia. She was kind of laying low.
No, and this girl's rising like a real star.
Rising star, and she's scoring points. She's getting her team to championships. She should be on the team. When you have icons like Lisa Leslie saying, "What's going on here? This is very strange," and it feels weird to not. You can't have an Olympic team without Caitlin Clark, and that's exactly what happened. And what I saw this morning on Twitter was a lot of people saying the United States Olympic team is supposed to represent America. They're here representing our country overseas. And there was a huge controversy with Brittany Griner not standing for the anthem and not saluting the flag during, you know, three games. And so people were saying, how can you have someone that doesn't respect America representing America?
Well, that's why I say this is just, it's more stoking of the fire. That's all this is. This is just more gasoline on the fire to divide. And that's all I see. And that's why I do these entertainment shows, because I think this is all a byproduct of what's happening politically and in our, and especially in our society, in American society, man, we're ass backwards right now. And I believe it's completely engineered. Let's get to, let's talk about Ryan Garcia for a second, because this guy is making all kinds of headlines right now. He's everywhere. He's all over TMZ. Ryan Garcia arrested for felony vandalism, led away in handcuffs, and also a helmet, right? He was wearing a helmet.
I don't know what that was, but yeah, I mean, so the guy, he's been posting all this weird stuff. You and I have talked about this a couple times, about his strange behavior recently. And, you know, they said there's felony vandalism at the Waldorf Astoria, of all places. They say he racked up $15,000 worth of damages in his guest room and in the hallway. They said he appeared under the influence. I don't know if any of the breathalyzer tests or anything has come out yet. So he was charged also, not just with vandalism, but with public intoxication. So he's going to have to pay back that $15,000. Public intoxication, he might be able to get some kind of probation. He might be able to get some kind of diversion where he has to go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or something like this. This is coming very much right after Wednesday, when there was a welfare check called on his house. So his arrest for public intoxication and vandalism comes after someone sent a welfare check to his home to make sure he was okay. You know,
well, he's making some crazy, you know, claim. I mean, he did a prediction about the earthquake that didn't happen. I see a guy, especially I can relate, because I was in boxing my entire life. I understand the stress of the sport, especially when Ryan Garcia is, you know, he is a superstar in the sport, and he has to uphold that. There's nothing more stressful than fighting. There's just nothing more stressful than that. And I think he's having mental breaks. That's what I think this is. I think he maybe knows he has to take on the tougher fights now. Things are coming down the pipeline that maybe he wants to sidestep, but he's not going to be able to. He's going to have to – he's built up this huge aura and image, and he doesn't know if he can live up to it. I'm telling you, there's a lot of pressure for fighters, especially a good-looking kid like him that has unbelievable talent. He has a lot of expectations that he has to exceed or live up to, and this is breaking him down. I'm telling you, this is breaking him down. Right here, I'm going to go ahead and play a video of wait a second. Right here, I'm going to play this video of Ryan Garcia. It looks like
he was posting this stuff, videos of himself.
They're going to put me in jail. Then they're going to kill me.
That is Ryan Garcia, his ominous final message if they do in fact take his life. Here he is being arrested, taken out of the hotel in Beverly.
So wait a second. He was saying they're going to come after.
Well, did you know that 3 months ago he posted something on Twitter or X where he said, something bad is going to happen to me on June 8th. And then he got arrested on June 8th. So my question is, did he predict this, or did he say, well, I already wrote that, so now I have to do something bad so it doesn't look like I'm crazy? And they can.
Yeah, because he's making a lot of predictions. He predicted an earthquake. It didn't happen. So now he's like, maybe I need to follow up on one of my predictions. And he started getting crazy in the hotel room. And then they arrested him. So, yeah, something bad happened to him because he did it to himself.
Did it happen? Did he predict it, or did he say, I predicted it, nothing happened, so now I need to make it happen? You know, my thing is that when you go on Twitter and you look at Ryan Garcia being arrested, there's a lot of people saying it's because he posed with Trump, and that's not why. You don't get arrested for posing with Donald Trump. People are saying it's because he exposed Bohemian Grove. My problem with that is that he talked about it, but where are the names? He kept saying he was going to go live, that he had proof, that he had video, that he had evidence, that he had text messages, that he had all the names of everybody that was there.
Let me play this one more time.
He would just start singing hymns.
Let me play this one more time.
They're going to try to put me in jail. And they're going to kill me.
That is Ryan Garcia, his ominous final message.
You know, I see it like this, and I'm going to be honest. This kid's breaking down. He's, you know, he lives, you know, he's a new generation fighter. Live by the sword, die by the sword. And he's taken to social media. This is something you never used to see in boxing. You never saw with De La Hoya. Canelo is very disciplined. He doesn't go and vomit all over social media. This kid's a Generation Z fighter. He is, his whole world is social media, and it's whatever he can stir up. This is unheard of in boxing, like this type of stuff, except for someone like a Jake Paul who made his life out of social media. It's almost like Ryan Garcia is trying to
start as like this controversial YouTuber. He wasn't a boxer, you know.
Right. But it's almost like there's a weird competition here with these two, who to get more fame off social media. And I'm not saying that's what it is, but everyone knows social media is where you really blow up, right? That's where everyone's blowing up right now. And I think Ryan Garcia has played into it. I think this is going to be his demise, man. I don't think you can't be a fighter and have this much shit come down on you constantly and take the sport seriously and go into training camp. And he drinks, he does drugs. It seems like, I don't know. I think this is going to be the demise of him.
Absolutely. And, you know, but that's the thing, is that I think when anything happens like this with someone like Ryan Garcia, who has been talking very crazy online, is that people go, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of this. But I think, you know, you have a very good point that he's got a lot of pressure on him. You know, he goes on these tangents talking about Christ is king and, you know, everything is for the Lord. And then he has videos with himself making out with like 5 different women. And I'm like, that's not practicing what you preach. And I think it is whatever gets clicks and views these days, right?
That's exactly what it is. That's what it is.
Clicks and views, you're going to get, not that he needs the money, but you know, that's going to keep his name out there. And then of course people are going to talk because he did mention Bohemian Grove. So of course people are going to start coming up with these theories and talking about it, but I haven't, you know, seen anything like that. And then he came out, I don't know if you said there was a statement also today, or was it yesterday, where he came out and he said he was never paid for his fight, right? The last fight.
Oh, I heard that. That doesn't surprise me if he's dealing with the boxing promoters, specifically Oscar De La Hoya. This is common practice in boxing. And it's another reason I detest the sport is a lot of times, you'll be waiting around for a check that never comes. This happens to a lot of fighters. This ain't, so I'm curious to hear about this. What do you know about this?
I don't know much, but I know that De La Hoya and Golden Boy Productions posted a thing and said they were paid exactly what they were supposed to be paid in the contract.
So he did get paid or he did not get paid?
Ryan said that he did not get paid what he was supposed to get paid. And then De La Hoya fired back on Twitter and said he got paid exactly what he was supposed to get paid in the contract. I don't know what that contract looks like. I don't think anybody's seen it. So we don't know. And, you know, they're both saying different things. So it's up to De La Hoya now to drop receipts.
Well, if you look at someone like Jake Paul,
file a lawsuit. If I didn't get paid for a fight within a certain amount of time, I would have lawyers on it. So we'll see what happens.
So if you look at someone like Jake Paul, who started his own promotional company, Ryan Garcia is at the point now where he could put his father in charge of that. He could do it himself, to be honest with you. And I'm sure he's got a lot of people on his coattails that would love to help him out in that type of thing and business venture. So, you know, to me, I think that Ryan Garcia at this point in his career, he's having too many issues, too many fights with De La Hoya. I mean, it's not good. It's not good. You can't be always fighting with your team. It's just going to end badly.
I have a question for you as a boxer. Do you think that it's just a complete mental breakdown, or do you think a lot of it is for him to try to get out of his contract with De La Hoya?
Both.
Like, if I act crazy enough, they'll drop me.
No, they're not going to drop him. He's their cash cow. They're not going to, they couldn't even think seriously about dropping him. He's their cash cow. But I think he feels like he's in between a rock and a hard place. He doesn't know he's breaking down. He's having a breakdown, multiple breakdowns. I've been there, done that. So I really feel sorry for this kid. I feel like he needs help. He needs to go into therapy. He needs to just take a break from, and as crazy as it sounds, he needs to take a break from boxing and really pay attention to his mental health. He needs to get treatment and get better, because adding gasoline on a fire, you can't just throw alcohol on it. That's what he's doing. He's throwing alcohol on it. He's sleeping with different women. And I'm not going to say anything about that. I had my time, but I'm just saying, like, You've got to really understand what he's going through. He's under a lot of pressure, and we're watching his demise. Like, this is not good. But this is not – when fighters start spiraling out of control like this, it never ends up good. It's always bad. Let's get to Jake Paul for a second.
Jake Paul.
So the fight has been postponed with Mike Tyson. And to me, this is just turning out to be more and more of a circus. I even think Mike Tyson is looking ridiculous at this point. I love Mike Tyson. He's been an idol. He's been one of the greatest fighters to ever live. And for what Mike Tyson is doing now, even entertaining this, even giving Jake Paul this moment to shine, is, to me, disrespectful to the sport. I wish Mike would just stay away from this. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole if I was Mike Tyson. I feel like Mike Tyson is above this. Even if he was 80, he doesn't need – this is Jake Paul stealing Mike Tyson's clout, stealing his legacy for himself. And Jake Paul doesn't want – let's be honest. Jake Paul does not want to fight real fighters. Mike Tyson can do whatever he wants to do, look as impressive as he wants to look, but he's 60 years old. And so to me – I got to call it for what it is. Jake Paul does not want to fight real fighters. And now Jake Paul is getting called out by a female fighter, Clarissa Shields, who is actually a world champion, who says, I'll take on Jake Paul. I'll fight him. Not a problem. Play this right here. So basically, she's saying, hey, look, you've been training. Let's do this. I'll take the fight. Now, to me, Jake Paul's already a circus. But for Clarissa Shields to come out and say, I'll fight him, just go for it, dude. This is really what you want to do anyway. This is exactly what Jake Paul wants anyway. He wants the notoriety, the fame, right? He wants the action. He wants the circus. I would say this is one fight that I actually would say go for it.
I think everything that Jake Paul does since he became a little YouTuber and TikToker is, doing all this stuff. It's all, like you said, for attention. Everything he does is a publicity stunt. He challenged Mike Tyson, who is not in his prime. Prime Mike Tyson would knock him out in one punch. You know, Mike Tyson in his prime. But, Mike Tyson doesn't need this. It's just kind of a joke at this point. I don't even think... It feels like the fight was never really going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like it was just a huge money-making grab and a thing. But now he's got a woman fighting him.
Clarissa Shields. Her name's Clarissa Shields. Yeah, she's actually very tough.
I think why not? You know, she's willing to go in the
ring. No, keep this. That's what I'm saying. Keep this circus going. You're a sideshow. You don't take boxing serious anyway. So go ahead and fight the woman fighter. Do it, because that's all you are is a sideshow. All you are is a circus. Fight the woman fighter, because that's what you're doing. You're making a big mockery of the sport. He's making a mockery out of the sport. So fight a woman fighter. You want to fight an old 60-year-old Mike Tyson? No. Fight a woman fighter who actually could beat you. She could beat Jake Paul. Clarissa Shields, call him out more. Get him in the ring with you. Jake Paul, fight Clarissa Shields. Fighter, this is you. I'm talking to you personally. Fight Clarissa Shields. I'm going to bet on her knocking your ass out. Make it happen. That's what I'm saying. Let's make it happen.
I mean, I would watch that. I would watch her knock the bejesus out of him, because you're right. It is just like, it's a game to him. I think, you know, he trains and he does what he does, but he's not... by any means wouldn't put him in as a professional boxer.
Look, he's a C-minus fighter at best. He's a C-minus fighter at best. He's a C-minus, D-minus maybe at best. Realistically speaking, could he beat Clarissa Shields? I'm going to have to say yes, but I would find it very entertaining. And I would give her a chance. I would give her a chance against Jake Paul, because he is a clown show. And that's just my opinion. So, I think it's a big joke. Let's get on to what's not a joke, the Gilgo Beach serial killer.
Yes.
Now, I haven't been watching this very much. I haven't been paying attention to this, so you may have to catch me and my audience up on this.
So, I did report on this last year when he first got arrested. People were really shocked. I think the general public was super shocked. Because from 1996 to something like, I think it was like 2003, all of these women were going missing. They found bodies strewn out about around the Gilgo Beach area of, you know, Long Island in New York. It started with a few different women going missing within a short period of time. They were adult workers who had Craigslist ads back in the day. A lot of them would advertise on Facebook, Craigslist, and they were going missing, and no one kind of took it seriously because they were adult workers. The families kept persisting. They found the remains, and then they kept finding more and more and more. It turned out within that period of time, they found over 11 different bodies in this area. So the police had been investigating. A lot of the cases had gone cold. And then this guy, Rex Heerman, he was a Manhattan architect. He worked in Manhattan, had a family, a house, never been in trouble, never had any run-ins with the law. Nobody suspected anything. But what they did was they started, they traced the, what's it called? The emails, they traced, you know, the VPNs. They started, when forensics started getting more and more advanced, because it was still very much in its infancy in the 90s, and they started getting more advanced, and they started tracking it to this house, this guy. They had some burlap sack that one of the bodies was wrapped in. And what they did was they followed this guy around. They found an old pizza crust that he had discarded, and they matched the DNA.
Oof.
And they said, this is the guy. So they got a search warrant. They searched his house. They found over 300 electric devices, electronic devices. We're talking cell phones, CD-ROMs, flash drives, things that belong to the victims. And they said, oh my God, we got him. Right.
They found what belonged to the victims at his house.
Yes. Not only
that's
that,
a dead giveaway.
They tracked the old Craigslist emails. They had, you know, forensic scientists and computer specialists tracking it to all of these old cell phones, these burner phones they found at his house, and they were able to connect it to four bodies. Now, 2 days ago, this just last week, they connected him to two more. So it was the Gilgo Four. Now it's six women. So it turned out he was responding to these ads and then ending these women's lives. One of them made a phone call to her sister saying, this guy's going to kill me. She was running. And then the line went dead and they couldn't trace it. They didn't know anything. They found her body. And, you know, they said, well, this is really crazy. One of the things that they found when they were searching was they're calling it a blueprint. Or murder. They found lists on his computers of things to do with the bodies. Take their hands, take their feet, take their heads, so they can't identify. This guy wrote it all out.
He wrote it out, and they found this evidence?
It was a yes on his computers. Like I said, they took over 300 electronic devices, burner phones, CD-ROMs, photographs, old cameras. They got him, right? I truly believe that this man is guilty. He's saying that it's all circumstantial evidence. Now, they take a computer, an old computer, from your house, and it has a checklist. They take burner phones from your home. They're connected to the victims. They connect the Craigslist ad responses to your computer. That's more than a little circumstantial, I think. And, of course,
yeah,
his wife
he's,
is,
I mean,
know, divorced.
But
his wife is now, you know, like, what the heck? You know, she had no idea, right? I have a hard time believing that, but I know that a lot of times, you know, it could be in marriage where people have grown apart and they don't really talk to each other. They don't go in his office. She doesn't go in his office. They don't see him. It's just a marriage where, you know, you've been married for 30, 40 years and you go, hi, here's dinner.
You know,
just,
it reminds me of the mafia hitman Iceman, who
yeah.
with this cold, I mean, a stone cold serial killer. And he had a family, he had a wife, he had kids, and then he was just completely blank, cold when he would go out and he would just end people's lives. I mean, this to me is this, these serial killers all kind of have that common thread, that common theme. They have like a life they portray to the public, and then they have this dark side that they're able to somehow separate, compartmentalize. But the mind, the psyche of a serial killer to me is, I don't want to say I find it fascinating, because it is very intriguing, but to me is just, it blows me away how someone can just so perfectly compartmentalize, upholding an image to the public, having a loving family, loving their children, loving their wife, and then being once every few months go out and do a purge and an adult worker or something like that. It just blows my mind. I can't understand the psyche in this. It just blows my mind. And you know what? I think there's a lot more of these people than we realize.
Oh, 100%. They're all walking around right now, and we couldn't know it. It could be our neighbor, you know, and that's one of the things with the serial killers that do have these double lives. There are some that are very obvious, and you know, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, that guy, you saw him hopping trains. You knew he was trouble, right? Checking into dirty motels in LA, you knew he was trouble. People like, you know, the Green River Killer, who had children, and it turns out in his barn was like torturing, you know, women. It's crazy, right? And his daughter is actually on Twitter, and she's talking a lot about her father. And there's complete sociopaths. You got Ted Bundy. He's in law school. Murdered. How many women did he murder? Something like
that. Right, yeah. John Wayne Gacy as well.
John Wayne Gacy was dressing up at kids' parties, and he was burying, you know, young boys in his basement.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really scary, because you never really know who your neighbor is.
You don't know who to trust.
You don't know. It could be your boss. It could be your neighbor. A lot of these people, they're really sociopaths, where they're really charming. And that's the thing that you hear in every single news report and every documentary about any of these guys. What you hear is, he was so normal. He was so nice. He would always bring, you know, buy pizzas for the neighborhood cookout. He was a nice guy. He was on, you know, take his daughter to soccer practice. He was a great architect. He did my house. No one suspected a thing. They were a normal family living next door. You know, you hear that on those true crime things. He was a normal family man. And these are the ones that you got to watch out for.
Yeah. And they insert themselves, you know, people that like children insert themselves in schools. They insert themselves in daycares. They insert themselves as PE. I mean, I'm just saying, this is he was a clown. He was a child.
And he dressed up as a clown to be closer to little kids. And people say, oh, he's a clown. He's the neighborhood guy. He'd give balloons to all the kids. What a sweet man. He does art. You know, he's hiring all these kids to come work at his house and give them, you know, some pocket money to spend.
You know, it's the same thing as like when your house gets robbed. It's usually someone you know. It's usually somebody that you've invited over. They've scouted out your house. They've looked around. They smiled, had a drink with you. They leave. They come back 2-3 weeks later, rob you blind. 9 times out of 10, it's someone you know. And I got to say, it's the same thing here. And folks, you always got to be careful. You know, me personally, I don't – less people, less problems. I don't like to be around a lot of people. I keep myself – kind of my private life hidden away. I don't like anyone knowing – nothing. I don't like to be around a lot of people for these reasons. I don't, the world has gotten crazier. The internet has given access to crazy people to get crazier. Like they're able to look things up that satisfy their hunger for the, whatever it, you know, makes them tick, whatever makes them go, whatever fetish they have. It's all there. Anyone can find it anywhere now. And I feel like it's only made weird weirder. It's only made people weirder. And for me, I stay in my little corner in the world here. I keep to myself, and that's the way I like it. You know what I mean?
I hear you. And I pretty much stay to myself too. I work and I like to stay home. But when I do go out, if I take pictures or do videos or something, that I don't post where I'm at until I'm home for at least 2 hours. If I go to an event, I don't post any photos or anything like that until my mom's like, oh, are you still there? No, I left 3 hours ago. Oh, why are you only posting now? For safety reasons. People can find you. But it is weird because, you know, you think about this, like you go to your neighbor's house for a coffee. you know, I'm sure these people were like, hey, this is a very well-respected man. And he was arrested in Midtown Manhattan by his architect firm. He was right there coming out of work, and they caught him. And it's, you know, it's lawyers, doctors, you know, it's not going to be the crazy guy who's got, you know, a bunch of cars in his garage that are broken down with, you know, overalls on, who's, you know, working at the gas station. It's going to be an architect. It's going to be your neighbor. How many?
They're usually really they're usually really smart.
How many times have you thought, like, I've gone to my neighbor's house? What if it's something like that? In 10 years, we find out this guy's a serial killer.
Yeah. You don't know. Scary. You don't know what they have in their basement. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know anything about anybody, especially now. Nobody really interacts anymore. Nobody, everything's over this monitor here. Everyone's just, to me, a big mystery anyway.
Yeah.
You never really know anybody. And that's why, you know, another thing I don't understand is, like, these people that air out everything on the internet, their children, their families, they post shot. I don't trust that. I don't know how anybody could put their families, anybody, their children or whatever, on the internet. I don't know how anybody does. I don't think it's the right thing to do. You don't know who's looking at that. That's just my opinion, folks. So take it for what you will.
You know, here's the thing, though, going back to the Gilgo Beach, so he's been charged with 6, right? And there were at least 11 other bodies. Some of them were men. Some of them were children. They're trying to see how many more they can connect to this guy, because he might have not just been killing adult workers. He might have been, you know, a lot of times serial killers, they have their MO, but they start moving up. You know, what's the next step? Seeing if he can overpower a man, taking a child. So we'll see if, I guess we just have to continue to wait and see how many more bodies they can tie to this guy where they can actually indict him, because they have to have a lot of evidence to indict him, you know? And
his to me, he looks, in my opinion,
he looks guilty. He looks guilty. Look at his face. You're like, that dude is far from normal. Like, he might have been led a outwardly respectable to him.
Yeah, he has I could just see the anger brewing in his brain. There's just something there. I don't know. But Jessamine, I appreciate you coming on. This was a great podcast, folks. Where can they find you, Jessamine?
You can find me on Twitter at Jesse Dodd. You can go on the Epic Times, Jessamine Dodd. I post all my stuff there. All my links are there, too.
Thank you. All right, folks. give me your thoughts down below. Leave a comment. Let me know what you think. We are living in crazy, crazy times. What's your thoughts about Ryan Garcia? I want to know a few things here. Ryan Garcia, do you think he's having a mental breakdown? Do you think he's doing this just for attention? Do you think he just wants out? Jake Paul, should he fight Clarissa Shields? Should he fight the woman fighter? Should we at least see that? I mean, he is the clown show. Should we at least get what we want? I would pay for it. I would pay to see Jake Paul fight Clarissa Shields. And then third, man, what about this serial killer, folks? What's your thoughts on him? Give me your thoughts down below, folks. All right, later.